This message entitled "The God of the Second Chance" was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on January 12th, 2020 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr.
Lord, you, dear God, will be our everything, Lord, as we allow for your word, dear God, to come and truly touch our hearts. We thank you, we praise you, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Recently, we've been focused on the wise men, and we've done that for a purpose, for a reason. Epiphany is the date that generally the church picks to talk about the wise men. But I felt, especially this year, that it was important to take some time to really focus on the two stories that come together. Now, we've already done that, so I'm not doing that today. But the two stories that come together, first of all, the hatred that Herod had for Jesus and the things of God and how he was looking to kill him, but just the opposite with regards to the wise men. They were going to gather to Jesus in order to worship. Herod's looking to kill, but the wise men are looking to worship. Okay, praise God. All right. But I want to look beyond that. We already talked about that, okay? And that's important that we did that. We did this especially like comparing the two stories up against each other. We did that at the nursing home one of the times. And that was to look at the story of Herod and look at the story of the wise men and see how that was intertwined, okay? You know, to be stuck together, okay? I almost call the message stuck like glue. You know, because I'm stuck on you? No. Anyway, but the idea is intertwined, okay? And that's what the story of Herod was and the story of the wise men. And if you took another look at it, you'd see that pretty clearly. We talked about that at the nursing home. Praise God. But I want to take a look at today, what about his gifts to us in general? What about the other things that the Lord gives, the Lord wants his people to have? What, I mean, there's all kinds of different things. There's, you know, health. There's, you know, pieces and so forth of understanding that you can get from God's word, and it can take you deeper and deeper into the things of the Lord. These are all gifts, okay? And there are literally, well, I was going to say hundreds, but it's a lot more than hundreds. They're just gifts galore that God does give to his people. And I'm talking about general things. You might not even think of some of them as being gifts. Max Lucado, in his book, The Great House of God, he says this. Well, he uses the text from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Thanks be to God for his gift that is too wonderful for words. All right? Thanks be to God for his gift that is just too wonderful. So he begins his devotion by saying, why did he do it? Why did God do it? A shack would have sufficed, but he gave us mansion, the scripture says. Did he have to give the birds a song? Isn't that kind of a gift? Did they have to have a song? There are other animals and birds that maybe don't even have a song, but he gives some a song, right? In fact, through this winter, I've been surprised because all of a sudden I'll hear birds that you don't hear till spring. And that doesn't mean it's going to be spring real soon. Oh, I would like that, but you know, but that's not what it means. You know, there's just some out still hanging around. Okay, maybe they haven't taken off. Maybe they're not going to take off. Okay, but it sounded like spring to me. All right, it's a gift. It's a gift. Was he required to put stripes on the zebra? I mean, is that what the blueprint said? You know, when God created everything back during the days of creation, did he have to put stripes so precisely? on a zebra or, say, a tiger or spots on a leopard? You know, did he have to do that? Or isn't that like an added thing? Okay, I mean, to show his love, to show his mercy, to show his grace, to give us a variety in nature so that all the big cats don't run around looking alike. You know, they're different. Panther is black, you know, so forth. Or what about the hump on top of the camel? And not just that, but there are some camels with two humps and some camels with one. Why the variety? Why did God feel like he, you know, had to do that? Well, I don't think he felt he had to do it. I think he did it because he wanted to make things different. He wanted to make things so you noticed them. He wanted to make things so it was easy to identify, I think, is part of it. Why wrap creation in such splendor as these specific differences in the animals? Why go to such trouble to give such gifts to us who view these things, whether out in the wild or whether at a zoo or something, animal park or something, okay? Or why did he give them those gifts? Why do you? Why do you? Because you do the same thing. I do the same thing. We do the same thing, don't we? You know, we've all seen each other searching for a gift. You might run into one another at Walmart or some other place or whatever, and you're looking for something. Okay? You know, people look at you and they see you, you know, searching out or even stalking. I'm not using that negatively, but stalking the malls and walking the aisles, looking for that something for somebody. And I'm not talking about obligatory gifts. I'm not talking about you're coming up to Christmas and you got to come up with something for this person or that person or something else. No, I'm talking about that extra special person and that extra special gift. Why do you do it? You do it so the heart will stop. And what I mean by that is, a lot of times your giving is more special than the receiving. And the Bible even says that. But it's true. When you get, like say, to Christmas or a birthday or whatever, and I remember saying this numerous times, I enjoy the giving of Christmas more than anything else. Not that I'm not appreciative. I already said this before. Everything you guys did for us, and, you know, gifts and money and so forth and so on. But, you know, when I was busy through the Christmas season and before the Christmas season, in years past, I haven't done much of it lately with everything going on, but in years past, I really, truly enjoyed making things out of stained glass and giving his presents. It gave me far more joy to make those things and give them than it does to receive. Whereas there's a whole lot of people all focused on the receiving, trying to get out of the giving. You know? Okay? So you do it because you know the heart is going to stop. You know? Cindy's cousin Karen is, you know, going to pretty much shout out, you know, "Roy! You do better and better all the time." You know, and, you know, and she said that more than once, you know, because she enjoys it. She enjoys it. And it's kind of fun to watch her have a thrill over something. Okay? And you do it so the heart will stop. You do it so the jaw will drop. Okay? You know, and then there's Cindy's mom. "Oh, boy, you shouldn't have." You know? You do it to hear those words of disbelief. "You did this for me? You did this for me?" That's really why we do it, isn't it? And that's why God did it, to tell you the truth. The next time a sunrise steals your breath or a meadow of flowers leaves you speechless, remain that way. Remain speechless. Don't try to justify it. Don't try to say much about it. Just enjoy the reaction. Do you like it? That's what's being asked when you give something to somebody, or when they give you something. Do you like it? Do you like it? And I'm not, listen, this is not, you know, Christmas, you know, over and over and over again. I'm talking about just in general. Could be a birthday, could be, you know, just a thing of flowers for your wife or your husband or whatever it might be. Do you like it? I did it just for you. I did it just for you. To me, it kind of feels like a second chance. A second chance to say, I care about you. Another chance to voice an opinion of how special somebody is to you. That's what's really going on. I mean, that's what Christmas is. Okay? I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. It becomes just a trip to Walmart kind of thing usually, but, you know, but that's what it's supposed to be. That's what Epiphany is, because God gave Epiphany in order to make it really, really clear. Okay? All right? Be careful, Joel. Take care. All right. And Lent. Okay? That's what Lent is all about. Easter? Same thing, isn't it? It's all about watching the jaw drop. Right? Praise God. What about Pentecost? This is why God did these things. These are gifts that God has given. Amen? It's not just Christmas anymore. It's the whole year. God gave Himself. Amen? Praise God. And really, and Advent is well with that, and then it goes back through the whole thing all over again, year after year after year. All of life is, for He is the God of the second chance. Anne Graham Lotz, and I've shared this poem before, but I really like it. Anne Graham Lotz, in her book, Just Give Me Jesus, she said, no means or of measure can define God's limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of His shoreless supply. No barrier can hinder Him from pouring out His blessings. He forgives and He forgets. He creates and He cleanses. He restores and He rebuilds. He heals and He helps. He reconciles and He redeems. He comforts and He carries. He lifts and He loves. He is the God of the second chance. The fat chance. The slim chance. Just give me Jesus. He makes change possible. And that's really what the whole year is all about. It's not just Christmas. And it's not just Epiphany. It's all of it. God is looking for changes in our hearts. Amen? And how we react and deal with other people, but also how we approach Him. He wants change. Praise the name of Jesus. But isn't that what people say, you know? You'll hear the phrase, you know, fat chance. You know what people mean? They mean, well, that's not likely to happen. That's why Anne Graham Lotz made it clear that there's not only a fat chance, there's a slim chance. Amen? Praise the Lord. But people look at that phrase and they think, oh, you know, fat chance. That's not going to happen. That's what usually people mean when they use that phrase. But with God, it is just the opposite. Amen? The Christmas story, if you'll think about it for just a minute, began, okay, with two old people. Amen? You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Zechariah and Elizabeth. Aren't you thankful for that, Matt? I'm getting there. Yeah, praise God. And you know what? The Christmas story ended with two old people, too. Started with Zechariah and Elizabeth, but ends with Simeon and Anna. In a sense, it's the end of the Christmas story. There's more to it. It kind of ends with that. Praise God. I wonder what that means. I wonder what that says. Is it saying, let's look at the wisdom that the elderly tend to have. A lot of times young people look at the elderly and they, you know, They don't know anything, you know. Well, they don't know how to text or, you know, Snapchat or face bloggers or, you know, all that kind of stuff, okay? And, okay, I don't really care, to tell you the truth. You know, I'm not planning on it anytime soon. That's what a lot of young people today will look at. Well, that old person, he didn't know what's going on. He lived in a different day, and he doesn't know anything about this new stuff, and so forth. And so there's almost a put-down intended with all of that. But let's face it, most of us old people, we really don't care. You go ahead, and you work on that stuff if you want, but that's not my thing. And I'm not going to get all wrapped up in it. You got your Zechariah, you got your Elizabeth, and then you got your Simeon, and you got your Anna. And I'm telling you, with the exception of Zechariah, who did not believe at first, I think you see a whole lot of belief coming out of the both women, the Elizabeth and, of course, Simeon and Anna. I don't see any place of unbelief in that. They were ready, willing, and able to follow after Jesus and to do it God's way. Amen? And they didn't worry about what somebody thinks about this and what somebody thinks about that. They were just going to love God. They were going to love Jesus. Amen? And when they saw the mother and the father of Jesus, well, Joseph and Mary, come in with the child, they knew. They knew. They knew. God revealed it to them. Amen? Didn't have to call somebody up and FaceTime them chat with them and get into a chat room, all these things. You know, when you think about it, the bulk of what young people are talking about today is not understood by most people in the world. Okay? Or we'll go down in history as a whole shift in words that became words. You know what I'm talking about? Every year they look at the dictionary and see what words got added to the dictionary. And probably all that's in there in the dictionary now. But half the people in the world don't even know what you're talking about. All right. So it began with the two old people and it ends with two old people. And every one of them has been given a second chance. Amen? Because it's about Jesus. And God is not about to let anybody go until they hear the fullness of Jesus. Praise God. Fat chance, slim chance, some may say. But no, the fact is, there's a second chance. Praise the Lord. Amen? There is a second chance. I've got another illustration I wanted to share at this point. All I've got to do is find it. Or not. Something. It was right here. Okay, we'll let her go. So let's take a look at this from the scriptures then. You got your Simeon first. Turn to Luke 2. You got your Simeon first. It says, when 8 days were accomplished, 8 days. A number of more than completion. 7 is the word, is the number for completion. 8 is one more. Okay? That's when God gets up, shakes it all off, adjusts his robe, slaps his hands together, and gets to work. The 8th day. Right? Because he created in 6 days, and then on the 7th day he rested, and the 8th day is when he gets to work. And that's the day that was set for the circumcision. Okay, the circumcision. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Now that had been said before. Mary's been told it's going to be named Jesus. Joseph was told he's going to have the name Jesus. And so it had been said before. But now it is officially given. This is like the birth certificate. Okay? This is like the birth certificate. Nothing new and fancy about that. It's proof that he was born. Okay? He didn't just drop out of the sky. He was born. And born of a woman, the scripture says. Born of Mary. Hallelujah. And his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So this has been said before, but now it is official. Now it is a done deal. Alright? His name is Jesus. When the days of her purification, according to the what? To the law of Moses, were accomplished. The law of Moses. Okay, you'll find that in the Old Testament, praise God. In Leviticus, it's in there. It's in several places, really. All these different pieces of the law. To present him to the Lord. To cause to make him stand near or before. Okay, it's the idea of presenting. And then there's a verse in parentheses. And it says, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. That's in Leviticus chapter 12, by the way. Alright? Then verse 24. Okay? And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. If you were exceptionally poor and couldn't afford the real offering, you could use these pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Okay? Simeon. Comes from the Hebrew word Shammai, which has to do with peace. Okay? Praise God. And the same man was just and devout. Waiting for what? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for God's way of bringing all this stuff together. They didn't need new ways. Okay? These guys are going to go all the way to the end with God's way. Amen? For the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Praise God. Waiting for the consolation. It was in a very deplorable time. Spiritual conditions. There was one righteous man. Might not have been the only one, but he's the one that is centered on here. Was devoted to God and filled with the Holy Spirit, waiting in faith and patience and great longing for the coming of the Messiah. Likewise, in the last days of this present age, when many abandon the New Testament apostolic faith and the blessed hope of the coming Christ, there will always be a faithful Simeon. There will always be a faithful remnant. There's been a remnant all through church history. Even in the days of the Middle Ages, in the Dark Ages, and all of that, there were still people that believed the truth. Amen? God was giving a second chance to people throughout history. Here's my Jesus. Here's what I'm willing to give you. Here's my gift. They're waiting for the consolation. Others may place their hope in this life and in this world, but the faithful will be like the loyal slave who keeps watch through the long dark night, waiting for the return of his master. Like they did at the wedding feast, you know, when the bridegroom was going to come and others were there waiting, they were waiting. Waiting for the consolation, waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. Praise God. Our greatest blessing is to see face to face the Lord's Christ. To be ready when He comes, praise God, and to dwell forever in His presence. Law, 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 and there's one coming up yet. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He knew in his spirit that he was not going to die. We assume from that he was pretty elderly. But that he's not going to die until he sees Jesus. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. So the Spirit knew that Jesus was coming into the temple and led him to be right in that exact spot. The temple's a big place. You could be in a lot of places and you could miss him. All right? But the Spirit doesn't want you to miss him. The Spirit didn't want Simeon to miss him. Amen? And so by the Holy Spirit, Simeon was told where to be. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, look at this, and to do for him after the custom of the law. Praise God. There it is, the fourth time that the word law is mentioned. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Lord, I can die if you want me to, and I would be in peace. Because what you said I was going to experience, I have experienced. This is Jesus, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. It's a done deal. Amen? Praise God. And he's a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You know, I kind of get a little smile on my face and perhaps a little snicker when I hear of people that, you know, believe that Paul was the only one who knew anything at all about the gospel going to the Gentiles. I mean, that's what they say. He's the only one. A.W. Tozer says, those people that believe that kind of thing are, I can't remember the exact words that he used, but they are a whole lot less Pauline, meaning truly understanding who Paul was and who Paul was all about, than even Paul himself. They think it's all about Paul. It's called hyper-dispensationalism, and it's all about Paul, and that he's the only one who knew that it was going to the Gentiles. I'm sorry, but I see scripture after scripture after scripture. Jesus knew it was going to the Gentiles, and here Luke knows, as he's writing the Gospel of Luke, that it's going to the Gentiles. He's a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And that's all through the scripture. Yes, Paul knew it, okay? But the Bible says that a lot of other people knew it too before it even got to that point. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And then in parentheses it says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon knew that. Simeon, he didn't doubt it. Amen? God, all through history, God was giving second chance after second chance after second chance for people. Some people believe that perhaps at first and then fall away. Some people don't believe it at first, and then they do end up believing it. But this guy, he knew it. And he was settled on it. Praise God. Amen? I mean, law, 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 law. In other words, it's all through the Bible. It's all through the Old Testament that this law was going to be fulfilled, and it was going to be fulfilled by Mary and Joseph and Jesus. Amen? And it's going to be fulfilled by Simeon as well. Because he picks up that kid and holds him up in the air. And he says, this is the consolation of Israel. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Praise God. The law is his mercy, and it is his grace. At the same time, it is considered law. Okay, going on from where we just left off, because where we go from here, it is no longer Simeon, now it's Anna. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. She was pretty elderly, okay? But she was waiting too. And she had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, which would suggest that her husband died 7 years after they were married. Okay? So she's lived a long, long time without her husband. She was a widow of about 84 years. Okay? which parted not from the temple. I mean, I don't even hear her going out for go see a movie or, you know, she's there. She's there. She's waiting for the consolation of Israel too. And she's not going to miss it. Amen? She's not going to miss it. She knows God's in the process of sending it. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Praise God. And she coming in that instant, she came in. What said, go in this room? God did. Why? Because he was willing to bring this thing to a completion. He was willing to give a second chance. Because some people had fallen away by this time. There weren't many of these people that were waiting for the consolation of Israel. The only two weren't told about is Simeon and Anna. Alright? So now comes the second chance. Praise God. Not that they needed it. They were solid about this stuff. But God uses it anyway to draw everybody. And so she comes in. In that instant, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the what? According to the law. According to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Amen. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. One and all are not only given a second chance, but really, we're all given every chance. I don't really even like using the word chance a whole lot because it sounds like it may not have happened. But when God gives a second chance, it's for sure. Like I say, it's a done deal, right? So what are the chances of victory? All right. Praise God. Rob Morgan told this story in one of his devotionals. He said, each time that I've been in Israel, I've visited Armageddon. Now, that's a word that literally means Mount of Megiddo. Today, the ancient site of Megiddo lies in ruins. But from the hilltop is one of the most fantastic views on earth. Now listen to this. A vast, fertile, fruited valley. 24 miles long. One valley. 24 miles long. Okay? And get this. It's 14 miles wide. That's a big, fat valley. You know what I mean? That's a big fat valley. It's the only level ground in Israel where a million soldiers could muster. In the book of Revelation, it makes mention that that is going to happen. A million soldiers. And it's the only place it could happen. Otherwise, they'd be on both sides of the mountain or, you know, across the sea from somebody or whatever. That valley is the only place in the area that all those people could gather. This is where Joshua fought in Joshua 12. This is where Deborah battled the Moabites in Judges 5. This is where Gideon and his 300 men beat Midianites in Judges 7. This is where Saul was defeated in 1 Samuel 31. This is where King Josiah was slain in 2 Chronicles 35. In a book entitled The Battle of Megiddo, the Egyptologist Harold Nelson asserts, now listen carefully to this, he asserts that the Battle of Megiddo on May 15, 1479, so we're talking many years ago, 1479, and that's not AD, that's BC. It's a long, long time ago. May 15, 1479 BC is the first battle in history in which we can study in any kind of detail the military maneuvers and tactics. Because it was all spelled out. It forms the starting point for military science. More recently, this is where General Allenby defeated the Turkish army and liberated Palestine in 1918, paving the way for the reestablishment of the State of Israel in 1948. To be exact, May 15, 1948, the State of Israel. Interesting, huh? I guess God does know what he's doing, right? He wants to give a second chance, he'll give a second chance. Amen? Praise God. And Rob Morgan goes on to say, he says, I believe the Bible teaches that the armies of the world will gather here on the last day, spilling over the landscape in all directions. I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem for battle. Then the Lord will go out to fight against those nations. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Amen? And praise God, that's the second coming. Glory be to God. And guess who wins? You talk about a battle? You talk about millions of people? Huh? Jesus is the one who wins. Praise the Lord. Jesus is. Jesus wins. In fact, he already won. He already has won. Just by virtue of being God. Amen. Because God never loses. God never makes a mistake. And that's why we can know that we can trust him when he gives you, when he gives me, when he gives others a second chance. Amen. Change is possible if you really want it. By way of repentance, by way of surrender, by way of loving him with everything you are. God is indeed the God, as Billy Graham's daughter says, the God of the second chance. Praise God. I prefer to not think of it in terms of chance, simply because it's not up for grabs. When God does something, he means it. Amen? And he's got everything planned out since before the beginning of time. So, the word chance is a little... I think there might be better words. but we understand that, because it's a phrase we use all the time. You know, fat chance, slim chance, second chance. But that's our God, and that's how much he loves us, that he gives us those chances. I guess it's a chance in the sense of how we see it and our perspective, because we can go this way or we can go that way. So, you know, which way is the right way? Okay? But from God's perspective, he already knows which way was the right way. And so he leads us and guides us and directs us in that particular direction. Amen? Okay? Glory be to God Almighty. Father, I want to thank you today, for today, and I want to thank you for this truth that is before us, this whole story of Simeon and Anna. We saw two old people at the beginning of the Christmas story, and now we see these two old people. And they just glorify your name. They really do. They just glorify your name. They're not looking to get out of it. They're not looking to go off on some cruise or something and get away from it. No, Lord, they know what they need, and they know what they want, and they know you're willing to give it. So we thank you, dear God, for that wisdom that oftentimes comes with age, but it doesn't necessarily have to. Plenty of young people running around with the wisdom of God as well. So we thank you for all of that, dear God. We thank you, dear God, that you are worthy to be praised and you are glorified in every way today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.